the key to interpretation of any portion of Scripture is context. So here, to interpret what the Bible says about COVID-19, the mark of the beast, and all that, number one, we have to understand who is the Antichrist and how does he fit in the Scriptures, okay? Number two, where is the mark of the beast in the Bible? Number three, how did the early church understand the 666 mark? That's the most important question. Not what do we think it is, a vaccine or a barcode or, you know, some World Health Organization. No, how did the early church understand when God told them about the 666 mark? Number four, how does the Antichrist use the 666 mark? Number five, can someone be marked and not know it, like with a vaccine? That's really a crucial question. Number six, can anyone be forgiven, notice that, after taking the mark and get saved during the tribulation? Or is the mark, and here's the key word there, the unpardonable sin? And then the final conclusion is, loving the truth is the only security against the mark. And by the way, loving the truth is the way the Bible describes a born-again Christian. And that brings us to the first question. Who or what is the Antichrist? Now, remember where we are. We're in Exploring Revelation. You're just joining in. If you're not in the course, you just found this on YouTube. This is a regular course. It's a 20-session course going through the whole book of Revelation, and so many of my students have been sending me messages on both YouTube and on Facebook and emails, and they've said, what about the COVID-19 vaccine? Does it have anything to do with the mark of the beast? That's the question. And I remember I'm answering it. I've already answered it, and I'm answering it again. No. It's not the mark of the beast, but it does have something to do with the Antichrist. Here's what it has to do. Open in your Bible to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to go there too. It's just for Revelation, so if you're in Revelation, back up. But 1 John 2, and then look on the slide. 1 John 2, 18, 2, 22, and then we're going to look at 2 Thessalonians 2, 3. So let's start right here in these two verses, and you just listen as I read these to you. Verse 18, little children, is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, look at this, many Antichrists have come, by which we know it's the last hour. Verse 22, who is a liar but he who denies Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies Father and Son. Now pause from the slide and look up for a second. Remember I told you, we need to go through the difference between Antichrist, small letter, this is a group of people, this is basically the world's philosophy, and the Antichrist, the person who is the beast and the Antichrist, okay? Now, to get this, let me show you something that we're going to see in Revelation 13, okay? Revelation 13, where we're looking at the Antichrist. See right here, Revelation 13, the Antichrist. There are three characters. There is the dragon. There is the beast. And then there's another beast, which we call, in other parts of Revelation, the false prophet. Three different individuals, okay? The dragon is Satan. You see, how do you know that? Revelation 12 identifies him, okay? The beast, now we're talking about in Revelation 13, verses 1 onward. The beast is the Antichrist. The Antichrist. The indwelt by the power of Satan. The person that is the one Satan has been waiting to unleash on the earth all along, that's going to come and deceive the whole world. How? With the help of this third person. This is the false prophet. Now, the beast has you know, 7 heads and 10 horns. The false prophet comes in like a lamb, and he doesn't even have horns. He just has 2 little stubs, you know, kind of like a little baby lamb that's just got the little prongs that start, you know, the horns of a ram. So he looks weak, but actually he is the greatest deceiver that's ever arrived on earth since the devil. And the false prophet and the beast and the dragon, these three personalities dominate the book of Revelation and the events of the tribulation. Now, turn from 1 John with me back to Revelation 13. And let me show you each of these. So, in your Bible, Revelation 13, verse 1, and I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw a beast. Right there he is, a beast. Rising out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Very powerful, very strong. On his horn, 10 crowns, and his head a blasphemous name. And he was like a leopard, verse 2. And his feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the... So all this is talking about ferocious and dangerous and powerful. And then, keep going. It says, it was given in verse 7 to him to make war with the saints and overcome them. We're in the tribulation now. We're in the time when God has removed from the earth the church and the powerful restraint to evil that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It's like there are all these walking around people that are indwelt. I, right now, as a normal, fallen, forgiven sinner, I have become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And if you're saved, if you know Jesus Christ, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And when we walk around, demons know that the Holy Spirit is within us. And people, lost people, sense there's something different about us. And we are a great and powerful restraint to evil that is going to be removed like control rods out of a nuclear reactor. And then Satan is unleashed. Then look what happens. Verse 8, all who dwell on earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of life. Now verse 11, here's the last person of the three that we're looking at. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. So he appears to be weak, but he's speaking in the power of the dragon of Satan. And he's indwelt by a very powerful demon that deceives the whole world. And look at verse 13. He performs great signs. He can make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He deceives them in verse 14. And he gives power to the image of the beast. And look at verse 16. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark. So the false prophet makes everyone get the mark of the beast. Okay, back to the slides. Who or what is the Antichrist? The answer is 1 John 2:18. The Antichrist is both the pervading spirit of the devil. Now look up for just a second. Let me tell you something. Did you know that Antichrists live all around you? I was taught by some Antichrist when I went to Michigan State University. One of my first professors at Michigan State in the 70s says, my goal is for you to not believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It's mythology. That was, look over here, a small letter Antichrist, that teacher. So we live and work around, we're entertained on TV by, we are entertained by musicians, we read books by people that are small letter Antichrist. In other words, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. They don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead, or they don't believe that he is truly God the Son. They just don't believe the truth. That's a small letter Antichrist. But coming is the capital letter Antichrist. Now, why is that so important? Well, we're going to see it in a couple of minutes, but let me tell you this. For those of you that are always tuning out, I see on YouTube how long you stay. Before you leave, let me tell you this. You can't get the mark of the beast until the beast is here, the Antichrist. Always we've had the spirit of Antichrist. We've had the world, the group of people, but the mark of the beast comes from a person. In Revelation 13:16, It's under the authority of the Antichrist, his false prophet, forces people to get marked, either in the forehead or on their right hand. That means today you can't have the mark of the beast. That means today no vaccination. No vaccination, no barcode, no social security number, no anything that's right now being paraded as a potential mark of the beast is the mark of the beast until the beast is here. Okay? Back to your slides. So that tells us that Satan's Superman is coming. He's talked about in the book of Daniel. And in our course, we cover him. Also, he's described in the scriptures. He's a super genius, Daniel says. A super orator, this Antichrist. A super politician. He gets world peace. A super businessman. He, if you read chapter 18 of Revelation, he sets up one of the most profitable businesses in the world, and everything flows to his capital city. He's a super general. It appears in chapter 6 of Revelation that he conquers without even battles. He's kind of like Hitler taking over Austria without firing a shot. But he's a super religious guru. He gets everyone to follow him. Next slide. Satan was the original Antichrist. So Satan is the prototype of this man coming. And Satan, John 8:44, is a liar. Next, I want you to see the rise and fall of the Antichrist. He actually starts before the fall of man. He falls right here. Then he leads Adam and Eve into the fall in Genesis 3. So he was created perfectly, and we read about that in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And then he fell sometime before Genesis 3. Actually, personally, I believe between Genesis 1 and 2, when Satan was, Lucifer was created perfect, and Genesis 3, right here, is where Satan fell. So Satan falls, and look what he does. This is the ascending kind of power grab of Satan. He gets humanity into his fall. Then he causes everyone but Noah's family to get defiled, so God has to destroy them in the flood. God wipes out the earth, starts the promised line, and in Genesis 11, Satan tries to confuse everything by getting everybody to be idolatrous at the Tower of Babel. Then Satan thinks he has his ultimate triumph. He gets Christ crucified, not realizing that was God's plan. And then we're right here in the church age, right here, spreading the gospel. But Satan's next big move is right here, raising up the Antichrist that's in the first seal. Then Satan is cast out of heaven. That's yet a future event when Satan and all of his angels are not allowed to come before the presence of God. So Satan indwells a man. That's who we're talking about, the Antichrist. And the Antichrist wreaks havoc on the saints and on the world all the way through Revelation 19. And then the Antichrist and the false prophet are the first two humans to go to hell. Now look up. Revelation 13 introduces us to the beast and the false prophet, indwelt by the dragon, which is Satan. That is the person of the Antichrist. So anytime before that moment in Revelation 13, you can't get the mark of the beast. Okay, next slide. These are just some of the ways Satan has shown up. He tried to corrupt Adam's line. Genesis 6, I told you, he tried to corrupt Abraham's seed. He sent the famine to get Israel out of the land. In Exodus 1, Pharaoh tried to kill all the males. Satan's trying to destroy God's plan. Pharaoh tries to kill all the children of Israel. And then they get into Canaan, and Satan incites even against David's line. Jehoram kills all of his brothers, so there's not going to be an heir to the line of David. The Arabians slew all the sons, except for Ahaziah of the king. Athaliah kills all the sons, but Joash, you see, there's all these attempts of Satan. Look at the last one, Haman right there, tried to destroy all the Jews in Esther 3. Those are all the Old Testament attacks of Satan. In the New Testament, Satan doesn't stop. He makes Joseph not want to marry Mary. Herod tries to kill all the male children. At Nazareth, they try and throw Jesus off the cliff. In Mark 4 and Luke 8, Satan tries to sink the boat with Jesus in it. And then finally, on the cross, Satan thought he won in John 19. But the ultimate is, in chapter 12, God says, enough. And he throws him out of heaven. Now remember, Jesus talked about the birth pangs, and I already mentioned this. They're going to grow stronger, closer, and become inescapable. All the end of the world characteristics have this frequency, intensity, and visibility. That's where COVID-19 comes in. This is just one of the diseases that are going to get more frequent, intense, and global. Keep going in the slides. Deceptions are going to get stronger. That's why you need to know the Word of God. Diseases are going to get stronger and closer and inescapable, and so are disasters. Now, next question. Where is the mark of the beast in the Bible? We already read it. It's Revelation 13:16. So the Bible does tell us when the mark of the beast comes around, and it's actually well into the tribulation time. Next slide. It says in verse 16 of Revelation 13 that on their right hands are their foreheads. Now let me just show you a little bit of stuff we're getting very comfortable with. Right now, every camera looks at your eyes, your mouth, and this kind of triangle of your face. That's how my iPhone identifies people in every picture. We have other biometrics right here. Our fingerprint. All of our fingerprint, our facial triangulation, as well as our voice, as well as all the different biometric parts, right down to our DNA. All of these are part of this 666 preparation. So look up from the slides for a second. Let me tell you something. Is the COVID-19 vaccine the mark of the beast? No. Repeat after me. Is the COVID vaccine the mark of the beast? No. But you know what it is? It's part of the stronger, closer, inescapable birth pangs of deception going on in the world, of disasters all around us, and of diseases. So, back to the slide. Don't ever confuse the 666 mark with all these biometrics and all the facial recognition and all the DNA coding. Okay? All of that stuff is just preparatory, but it's not the mark. Next slide. Do you remember we have comfortably all kind of allowed, you know, PayPal and MasterCard and Visa and Apple Pay and Venmo and now the new global coin that Facebook is launching. That is all also part of Satan's plan. Next slide. Let's go back that. Don't go so fast by that. Let me back up. This whole COVID-19 contact tracing, the 3 billion people that came out, look at this, it was in April, right after the March kind of awareness the world has. Did you know that 3 billion people right now can be regularly tracked by Apple and Google? That's how many people they know everything about, because either they have an iPhone or they have Google Mail or Google Maps or whatever. That is all part of this global deception, disease, disaster. Does it mean you should get rid of your Gmail account? No. I mean, you should if you want to, but you don't have to. It's not the mark of the beast. Should you get rid of your iPhone? Maybe you should. They're expensive and fragile, but it's not that you're partaking in anything to do with the person of the Antichrist. It's just all part of the general direction our world is going toward globalism. That's the spirit of the Antichrist. The world united, worshiping the earth. The whole ecology movement of Mother Earth is part of the group world worship of Satan rather than the true creator. Back to the slides. So, we come to the third question. What did the mark mean to the early church? Now, turn in your Bibles to Revelation 2, and I'm going to show you more slides. But Revelation 2, Starting in verse 8, now remember, we're in the middle of the Exploring Revelation course right here, and we spend a whole hour looking at the seven churches in the course, but look at verse 8, to the angel of the church in Smyrna, these things says the first and last, that's Jesus, who was dead and came to life, I know your works, tribulation, and poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are synagogue of Satan. Now look at verse 10. Don't fear the things which you're about to suffer. What is that? Next slide. He's talking about, Jesus is warning them about the near extinction of Christianity event. Did you know in history, look at the next slide, there were periods of persecutions. This is what I call, here's a survey of church history, a short history of early church persecution. Nero, you know about him, he's alive during the time of Peter and Paul. He persecuted people in Rome. And then Domitian and Trajan and all of these, Marcus Aurelius and Septimus Severus, they expanded to, so this is kind of local up here with local persecution with Nero. These became provincial, kind of like states. Different areas of the Roman Empire had persecution, but by the time we get to down here in the 4th century, Aurelian, Diocletian, these men, what we have is, and I'll get to the next slide, we have what Revelation 2:10, don't fear the things which are going to happen. The near extinction of Christianity. Now, what did Jesus say? By the way, I love this picture. You see these archways here? This is the forum in here. What you see in the distance, that's the forum. In fact, let me get rid of that and I'll write. Inside of those arches, you enter the forum. So this is the pathway to the forum. In the time of the New Testament, as you walked in on this pathway to the forum and went by this little desk here, there would be Roman legionnaires, the city clerk, and there would be a little bowl of incense right here and a little kind of fire burning of coals. And everybody in the city was marching down this pathway right here. And they would stop at this desk. They would take a pinch of incense, throw it on the fire, and the clerk would hand them a little slip of paper, and they were a loyal citizen. And any Christian who would not put that incense on and say, Caesar is Lord, would be imprisoned, persecuted, or even executed. That caused all who are in Christ Jesus. See what Paul said? All of us who do not go along with the world and Satan and the system will suffer persecution. Now, I'm not talking about people that don't like the government, like has gone on with this horrible Capitol riot. I'm not talking about that. That was lawlessness. Okay, look up for a second from the slides. What we all watched last Wednesday was rioting lawlessness. Nothing Christian about it. Any Christian that had anything to do with that should be ashamed of themselves. We are not called to overthrow governments. We are not called to riot to get our way. The early Christians were called to suffer. They had an emperor who was godless and who said, you must worship me. And they said, well, we have to obey God rather than you. So we're not going to riot and we're not going to be lawless. You can punish us, but we will serve and worship Christ. Notice who will suffer in your slide. So, if we notice who will suffer persecution, what is God's plan? Look in the slide. Throughout history, God has used the persecution of His church to advance the gospel. In Jesus' letter to Smyrna that we just looked at, He does not promise they'll escape with their lives. That's not the goal, that we escape with our lives. God wants us to suffer for Christ. Now, question number 4. How does the Antichrist use the 666 mark? Okay, look back in your Bibles in Revelation, remember, to understand issues, to understand what's going on around us, to understand any portion of Scripture, we look at the context, and look what Revelation 13:17 says. It says, And no one can buy or sell except one who has the mark of the name of the beast and the number of his name. Now look up for a second, I'll explain something. Many people think that the mark of the beast could be tied to the COVID vaccine. Why? Number one, because many countries are now saying, as in France, you can't travel on the metro, on the mass transit, unless you're vaccinated. Many countries are saying, Qantas Airlines, Australia, you can't fly on our airplane without you being vaccinated. There is actually legislation that was proposed, we don't know if it'll go through, that people cannot work in America at their job without a vaccine. You say, that's terrible, that's crazy. Wait a minute. Do you remember, you can't go to school without a polio vaccine? You can't go and go to camp unless you have your tetanus shot, right? You know, we're already in this world that is very interconnected, and we don't want to spread diseases. If you don't have your measles shot, you can't go to school. Well, I can see very soon that the COVID-19 vaccine will have very much to do with working and traveling. But is it the mark of the beast? No. Is it part of the birth pangs? Yes. But we're not supposed to avoid. We're not supposed to avoid Satan slowly taking over the world. We're not supposed to try and overthrow the world that's going the wrong direction. What are we supposed to do? Share the gospel with them. So how does the Antichrist use the mark? Look at the slide, the fourth question. He uses it to get people to submit to him. Number five, can someone be marked and not know, like with a vaccine? No. Why? Look at Revelation 13:16. Remember, the Bible answers it. He causes all, both small and great, rich and poor. This is the Antichrist and the false prophet. They are not operating right now. They are not presently unveiled. They are not world rulers. So there is no mark of the beast that someone can be marked with and not know it, like with a vaccine. Next question, number six. Can anyone be forgiven or saved after taking the mark and get saved during the tribulation? Or is the mark an unpardonable sin? Well, turn in your Bibles. Remember, the Bible answers this in two places. Number one, Mark 3:28. Let me define the unpardonable sin. Mark 3, let me turn back there with you, verse 28, Jesus is speaking, "Assuredly I say unto you, all sins will be forgiven the sons of men of whatever blasphemies they may utter, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation." What is the unpardonable sin? It's described in verse 30, "because they said he," Jesus Christ, "has an unclean spirit." Look up for a second. Guess what? It is not possible to commit the unpardonable sin of Mark chapter 3 today. Why? Because it was to say Jesus Christ was not God the Son, but that he was working in the power of Satan. It was looking at Jesus Christ as he ministered and raised people from the dead and fed people and gave them sight and hearing, and say he's doing that through the power of the devil. So that unpardonable sin is not possible to be committed today. But there is an unforgivable, unpardonable sin. What is that? It's never being saved. Once we go through life and reject the offer of salvation, it's too late to have our sins forgiven. So really, there is an unforgivable sin, and that is not believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But, back to Mark 3:28, look in your Bible, all sins will be forgiven, whatever blasphemies they may utter. Do you think it's possible that people will be saved in the tribulation under the rule of the Antichrist? Yes. Look at chapter 7 in your Bible, chapter 7. Look what it says about this. Verse 9, "And I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of nations, tribes, people, tongues, and nations, standing before the throne. And they all fall on their face," verse 11. And so, verse 14, John says, "Sir, who are these?" I mean, verse 13, "Who are these arrayed in white? this huge crowd, John says, who are they? Verse 14, these are the ones that come out of the great tribulation. Did you know more people are going to be saved during the tribulation than any other time in history? It's going to be the single greatest outpouring of the grace of God in the world. So, look back at the slides. Can anyone be forgiven or saved after taking the mark or getting saved during the tribulation? Or is the mark the unpardonable sin? The Bible does not say the mark is an unpardonable sin. And yes, people will be saved out of the tribulation. Here's the last one before we go. What's the only defense against Satan, the Antichrist, and the mark of the beast? Okay? Two verses, Ephesians 1:13 and John 10:28. So turn in your Bible with me to Ephesians 1, and I want to talk with you about these two verses. Ephesians 1. Now look in your Bible, and you should mark this one in your Bible, okay? It says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed you were what? Sealed. I remember when my father built our home in the 1960s in Michigan. He put up the cement blocks, and then he got these buckets of black tar. And he spent the longest time painting the outside of the basement of our house with black tar. What was he doing? He was sealing the blocks so that water couldn't get in and mold and ruin our house inside those blocks. It says in Ephesians 1:13, you and I were sealed. Sealed from what? From the penetration, from the ability Satan has to enter us. We are kept, Peter said, by the power of God through faith unto salvation. Now, what does John 10, turn back from Ephesians to John 10. This is where we're going to end our look at the question. Remember, does Revelation explain if the mark of the beast could be a vaccine? It certainly does explain that, and it's not a vaccine. And what does the scripture say about the only remedy to make sure we don't get the mark of the beast? It's not the vaccine, but how to make sure you never get marked by the beast? John 10, 28 through 30. And Jesus is speaking, and he says, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone, not even the Antichrist, not even the devil, not even the dragon Satan, the beast the Antichrist, or the false prophet, no one shall snatch them, keep reading, out of my hand, verse 28, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Wow. How do you know if you have eternal life? Look at verse 27 of chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. The scriptures tell us that the only defense against Satan, the Antichrist, and the mark of the beast is being born again, is knowing Jesus Christ, is calling on the name of the Lord. And if you have never called on the name of the Lord while you're watching this little video, why don't you think about right now reaching out to him by faith, saying, Lord Jesus, I believe. I believe you're who you said you are. You are the Christ. You are the Son of God. You are God in human flesh. You are God the Son. You are Jesus Christ who died on the cross in my place. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I call on you. You notice I'm saying a lot of different things. There is no little prayer that you have to pray just the right words to get saved. It's talking to Jesus as your only hope and reaching out to him just like you were falling off a cliff and saying, Jesus, save me, and reaching out to him by faith. That's the only defense against the Antichrist. Look back at your slides. Why is that so important? Because completely confusing times are coming. There's coming a time when the whole world is going to be faced with Satan in a human body, the beast, the Antichrist. How do you escape the mark of the beast? There's only one way. The only protection from Satan is God's signature. You see on this slide, we have to say, God, I'm forgiven. You remove my debts. I'm justified because I believe on Christ. When you believe on Christ, he gives us a new heart. I'm regenerated. I'm reconciled. I'm adopted into God's family. I'm redeemed. God owns me now. And he's making me a new person. That's the only protection. What I'd like to say to you is, if you'd like to join our class, we have two courses on YouTube I invite you to. Number one, Understanding Revelation, the 20-class study, that you're listening to the one little session of question and answer, and we teach through every verse and every doctrine and every truth in Revelation. Or another course that's even more encompassing is How to Understand the Bible. We cover the whole Bible by looking at the 52 key chapters of the Bible. Those are just two of the courses we offer, and that course on Revelation is in a book. It's called Living Hope for the End of the Days. In fact, if you look up from the slides, it's right here. This is the entire course, Living Hope for the End of the Days. It's the whole book of Revelation. This book took 10 years for me to write. It's my dissertation from Dallas Theological Seminary, and this goes through every verse, every doctrine of the book of Revelation and ties it to all the rest of the books of the Bible. Real quickly, if you're just joining us, this is a Q&A. How does Revelation explain if the mark of the beast could be the vaccine? It's not. The mark of the beast is the mark of a person during the end of the world when the birth pangs are crescendoing, the world is deceived, diseases are killing, as Revelation says, one out of every two people in the world. Basically, 40-some percent of the world dies in this very short time. And disasters are all around. It's not COVID-19, but COVID-19 is just one of the birth pangs. Thank you for joining our Q&A. John Barnett here, my wonderful wife Bonnie, doing all the recording here in the virtual classroom. Thanks for joining this Q&A. God bless you.